Today we began to talk about the transition of power from the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu to, as we know, Yehoshua ben Nun. Sefer Yehoshua begins with this new chapter of Jewish history when the Jewish people go over the Yarden. And this really opens a general question, which is a question that has been debated and discussed over the last few thousand years, already from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's come up every couple of years in many different communities and many different circles. What exactly is the status of children of a great Jewish leader? Do we assume that the children now have a right to take over the position of their father, or should there be no such assumption at all? So there's an amazing passage in the Sefer Hasidim. The Sefer Hasidim was written by the Hasidei Ashkenaz. It's believed that there was really a collection of great pious individuals who put this together in the 12th and 13th centuries. So they write the following. A story. Tzadik Echa, there was a great righteous man, Hayaragil Hispalel B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. And this man used to daven for the Yamud every year on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why? Ki Hatzibur Bacharu Bo L'Fisha Hayat Tzadik. Not because he had the best voice, but rather because he was a very righteous person and everybody wanted him to represent them as the Shteach Tzibur on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. B'Sof Yamav, in the end of his life, Lo Ratza L'Hispalel. One year comes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and he didn't want to daven for the Yamud. Amrilo, lama lo tispalel atar kemo b'chol shana? So they asked him, how come you've decided not to daven for the Yamud? Did something happen? Are you not strong enough? Are you not healthy enough? Amrilahem, no, I'm healthy. But he says, I'm afraid of the following. Im espalel v'amus, if I will continue to daven for the Yamud, and ultimately I pass away this year, yomar b'ni, my son will say, ani rotze l'hispalel tachas avi. My son is going to say, I want to be the chazan because my father was the chazan. V'ani chafetz shebiyama yispalel adam hagun. I don't think that my son is worthy of being the chazan. And if I'm going to wait until it's too late to name the successor, then he says, I'm concerned that my son is going to have a claim that he deserves it. So you know what? I'm going to make sure that I single out a person while I'm still alive, while I'm still in the shul, let everybody know that this is who I choose, and it's not my son, so that this way my son will never have a claim. That's the story that the Sefer Hasidim writes about this great pious individual who chose not his son, but rather somebody else, and because of that he gave up his opportunity to be the Shliach Tzibur earlier than he had to, because he didn't want there to be any mistaken impression along the way. And the Sefer Hasidim writes that because of this mistake, this is why Eli HaKohen was punished. So what's the story with Eli HaKohen? You look in Sefer Shoftim, and you will find a very famous individual by the name of Eli HaKohen. He's familiar to us from the story of Chanah and Elkanah. Chanah goes to the Beis HaMikdash. We just read about her on Rosh Hashanah. And she prays in front of Eli HaKohen. Shmuel, thank you. Sefer Shmuel. So there, the Navi tells us about Eli HaKohen, who was the Kohen Gadol in the days of Mishkan Shiloh. His leadership lasted 40 years. He was not only the Kohen Gadol, he was also the Shofet. He was also the one who adjudicated all of the difficult cases. He was the Manhig, he was the leader. He was a very distinguished individual in his day. Now, over there in Sefer Shoftim, I believe, everything is in Sefer Shmuel. So in Sefer Shmuel, it says about the two children of Chafni and Pinchas. Those were the two children of Eli HaKohen. And it says that they were spending a lot of time with their father, Eli, who spent a lot of his own time in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was grooming them that they should be the next leaders of the Jewish people. So Chafni and Pinchas are these two young Kohanim, and they're spending a lot of time watching their father, observing exactly how he does the Avodah, and Eli has every intention of putting them not only in charge of the Beis HaMikdash as Kohanim Gedolim, but also he intends for them to be the Shoftim and to take over after he is unable to do the Avoda anymore. And what happens is, the Navi tells us there, unfortunately, Chafni and Pinchas, these two very special children, ended up doing terrible Averus, and it got to their head. And the Navi says they did many things wrong, but one of them was they were involved in inappropriate activities with women who came to the Beis HaMikdash, and then it says that they were all, however you explain that, but then it says as well that they took certain parts of the karbanos for themselves, and they didn't do exactly as they were supposed to. They wanted to keep the better pieces of meat for themselves. Anyway, there was a whole problem, and Eli becomes aware of this issue. He tries to intervene. He talks to his children. He tries to set them straight. And they laughed him off. The psukim say they weren't interested in hearing from their father. So some of Farshim explained that maybe it was Eli's problem, that he wasn't firm enough. They were his own children, so he had some rachmanis on them. He should have been stronger. Whatever it is, in the end of the day, the Navi says that an Isha Elohim shows up and gives Eli the following message, that your children are not going to take over. Your children, in fact, are going to be cursed. And from then on, Eli's descendants and Eli's children had a major, major issue as a result of everything that went wrong. And says the Sefer Hasidim, commenting on that story, Alzeh Nenash Eli HaKohen. Why was Eli punished? All of his descendants died young. What did he do wrong? Says the Navi, you know why? I'm sorry, says the Sefer Hasidim, Shahayelo Lahavir Banav. He should have overlooked his own children. If your children are not the ones who are worthy of the position, why are you grooming them? Just because they're your children? That's not the way the Jewish communal leadership should work. And Eli HaKohen was punished. Shahayelo Lahavir Banav. He should have had the insight, the foresight, to overlook his own children. They did not deserve the position. Vilivchor bekohanim tzadikim. He should have chosen kohanim who were righteous in the place of his own children. And therefore, says the Sefer Hasidim, because Eli was unable to do that as a father, he was unable to look past the flaws of his own children, that is why he was punished. And we find a very similar issue here with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. As we said yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that the leadership should go to someone. He knows that he's not going to lead forever. And Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it going to be my children? Rashi on Chumash quotes this as well. It's a Gemara, it's a Medrash, and we are told the following, Avister Rab Nassan, where the Mishnah says, Haskein Atzmecha Lilma Torah, She'ena Yerusha Hilach. The Mishnah says, every individual has to make sure that they study Torah on their own, because Torah doesn't go, it's not by osmosis. Just because one's father is a Talmud Chacham doesn't mean that the child will then be a Talmud Chacham. So the Mishnah says each individual person has to work on themselves to develop their own character, to develop their own scholarship. Nothing will go just because you are the child of a great person. Says the Mishnah, who is that a reference to? Haskein Atzmecha Lilma Torah. Says the Avister Rab Nassan, Bisha Shera Moshe Rabbeinu Ezbanav She'ein Bahen Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking around and he says, well, who's going to take over after I die? And he says, the obvious choice should be my own children. And then he says, hey, my children are not really worthy. My children really don't belong in this position. And Amad Vinis Atev Bitfila, Moshe Rabbeinu stands up and he's pleading, what are we going to do? Are my children going to be the leaders? And Amar Lefanav Ribon HaOlamim, Hodieni es mi yikanes, please tell me who's going to take over. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be your children. It's going to be Yoshua ben Nun, because he is more worthy. He is the one who deserves the position, even though generally we say it should go from parent to child, but not when the child is not worthy. That is what the Mishnah tells us there, and the Medrash writes the same thing. From the very outset, when Moshe Rabbeinu meets God for the very first time by the Sneh, he is told, Al Tikrov Halom. Don't get too close. So the simple understanding means don't come too close. But the Medrash learns it means Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to be the Melech, I want to be the Kohen, and I want it to go to my children. And God says, don't get too close, don't get too comfortable, because it's not all going to be yours. I want you to be the leader of the Jewish people, but I have in mind that Aaron is going to be the Kohen. I have in mind that David HaMelech is going to be the Melech later on in history, and it's not going to be all of your children. In fact, the Gemara says, the grandchildren of Moshe Rabbeinu were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Can you imagine? The grandchildren of Moshe Rabbeinu. You can have a grandfather like that, and even they ended up being Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So for the last few thousand years, as we said, this has been a major point of debate in many, many, many Jewish communities. What is the status when a leader is no longer able to lead? Should we assume that the child has a right to take over the position? Or should we assume that now we have the right as a congregation, as a community, to decide on our own who the rabbi should be, who the Chassidish Rebbe should be, all the different permutations of how this works, and all positions of leadership? Who gets to decide who the next leader will be? What's surprising here is that the Sifri writes in Sefer Shoftim, Torah says there, Leman Yarich Yamim Al Mamlachto, Hu Banav Bekerav Haaretz. It says that the Melech will be the one in charge, and then it says that he will be in charge, Hu Uvanav, him and his children who follow. Says the Sifri, She'im Meis, that means that if he dies, Beno Ome Tachtav, if a king dies, the next one in line will be the prince, will be his son. Ve'ein Li'el Ezebel Vad, not only that, says the Medrash there in the Sifri, Minayin l'chol parnasei Yisrael shebeneihem omdim tachteim. How do you know that every Jewish leader, whenever it comes time for them to step down, how do you know that their children take over? So it says, Hu banav bekerav haaretz, we learn it from a pasuk there. And the Rambam quotes this as well. The Rambam says, Me'achar shem moshchim hamelech, once we anoint a king and we say that you are the one designated to lead, hareze zoche lo ulebanav ad olam. The Rambam writes that king has a right to give it to his son, who will give it to his child, to give it to his child. It will keep going in that family. And the Rambam says it goes to the oldest child first. Velo ha-malchus bilvad, ela kol ha-sroros v'chal ha-menuyin shebi Yisrael, Yerusha lebanav uvenei beso. The Rambam then adds exactly what the Sifri teaches us. It's not just that a king gives it to the prince, but it's every position of Jewish leadership goes from parent to child, and it continues that way, and nobody has a right to get in the way. Sounds very black and white from the way the Rambam presents it, but in fact, it's not simple at all. And this has been a major point of dispute over many, many generations. So the Rama writes the following. Misha huchzak l'rav ba'ir. Number one, says the Rama, let's say you have a rabbi in a community. Ein lo haridu migdulaso. Says the Rama, what happens if 5 years after he comes, somebody else comes and moves into the community who seems to be a much better candidate? So do we have a right to get rid of the first one? Not because he did anything wrong, not because there was sufficient cause, but just because we're more excited about somebody else that finally came in. Says the Rama, we don't have a right to switch him with somebody else. Afal pi sheba l'sham acher gadol mimenu. Even if somebody else who's better than him happens to show up, says the Rama, once you've been hired, once you've been the one singled out, you now have the position. Number two, says the Rama, afilu beno uben beno la'olam kodmin la'acherim. Says the Rama, not only do we assume that he has a right to hold on to his job if he did nothing wrong, but even, says the Rama, after he steps down, after he retires, his children have the right to take over that position, as long as provided on the condition, says the Rama, shememalim makom avosehem biyira veheim chachamim ktsas. Says the Rama, there's an obvious caveat here. Are you able to actually fill the position? Let's say you have a rabbi whose child is not at all cut out to be a rabbi. He can't stand up and say, well, I want to be the rabbi. It doesn't make sense. You don't have the wherewithal to do that job. And therefore, the Rama says this is provided that he knows what he's doing and that he's able to hold up to that task. But if he can't, says the Rama, then he's obviously off of the discussion. Writes the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham's in the 1600s. The Rama's in the 1500s. So the Magen Avraham says, hey, hold on. Does that really make sense? You're going to tell me that just because a shul hires a rabbi, now they're stuck with his child and his grandchild forever? That doesn't make any sense. Why should that be the case? So the Magen Avraham there quotes from one of the great gedolim in the 1500s, the Marash Dam, a little younger than the Rama, but the Marash Dam writes that this cannot be the case. After all, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Shloshok Sarameim. The Gemara says in Yuma there are three different positions of leadership. One is Malchus, one is Kahuna, and one is the Keser Torah. So the Gemara says, Keser, Malchus, if someone is the king, it goes from parent to child. If someone is a Kohen, it goes from parent to child. Keser Torah, the Gemara says, when it comes to being a Torah scholar, Kala Rotsa Lito Yava V'Itol, whoever wants to be a Talmud Chacham, go study, go learn, and you'll be able to be a Talmud Chacham, doesn't matter who your parent is. And therefore, says the Marash Dam, and this is quoted in the Magen Avraham, what does it have to do with the fact that his father was the rabbi? Anybody else can also be the rabbi, so why should we be stuck with his child? So this became a major issue, and this is exactly why we find that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not able to have his children take over. Says the Magen Avraham, Yoshua ben Nun took over. He wasn't related to Moshe Rabbeinu, but because he was more appropriate for the job, he was able to lead better than Moshe Rabbeinu's children. There is no monopoly on the leadership of Torah in the community. Kohanim, yes. Malchus, yes. But Torah, absolutely not. And says the Magen Avraham, I categorically reject this psak of the Rama. I don't think it's correct, and I don't think a rabbi's child has the right to take the position. The Chasam Sofer has two tshuvas in a row where he has a lengthy discussion about what is the actual psak. Do we paskin like the Magen Avraham, like the Rama? Do children really have a right to take the position of their fathers, or perhaps not? But what's interesting to note here is that in the Navi itself, in Sefer Shoftim, you'll read about many different judges, many different leaders of the community, and you will find that their children did not take over after they passed on, did not take over after they retired. Why not? So the Maram Shik, who was one of the preeminent students of the Chasam Sofer, the Maram Shik writes, V'nireh Shema'i Kara Kachanigu. He says, no. The reason why in Sefer Shoftim we don't find that the children took over is because this was a precondition When you were hired as a judge, when you were selected as a shofet, we told you from the outset, this is a job for you, we're not interested in your children. If at some point your kids are going to be worthy, we'll consider them then. But they are not automatic candidates for the job just because you had the job. So says the Maharam Shik, when you stipulate that openly, explicitly, from the outset, when somebody gets the job, you tell them, this is not yours forever, it's not in your family, then obviously he says, that was understood in advance, and there's nothing to discuss. Another very important factor and consideration here is what one of the Achronim writes in the Chikrei Lev. He says he's one of the great Gedolim in the early 1800s, passed away in the early 1800s. He says that he's actually one of the earliest Sephardi chief rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. When he moved to Hebron, they thought that he was a great Talmud Chacham, and they took him to be the Rishon LeZion. So there the Chikrei Lev writes, this is only talking about a position of Svara, a position of leadership. But he says, let's say you hire the person. You pay that rabbi. You pay him to do his job. So then says the Chikrei Lev, does it make sense? The same way if I hire a painter and I don't like the job that he does. So the next time I have a paint job to do in my house, I have to hire the same guy because I already hired him once? Of course not. So the same way it works with every other employee that I have a right to overlook the one who I had before if I didn't like the job that he did. So too over here, says the Chikrei Lev, maybe in the days when it was a Srara, then I can say Srara might go from parent to child. But now he says that it's just another profession, then says the Chikrei Lev, I don't understand why you would assume that he's different than the painter, different than anyone else who does work for you. If you don't like the job that he does, that would be something that would obviously disqualify him. And the Netziv, as often in halachic conversation, the Netziv always has his own original thoughts on everything. So the Netziv on Chumash actually addresses this point as well, and he says the following. Perhaps, he says, this change when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael from the days when Klal Yisrael live now in Golus. And says the Netziv, Bizman she Yisrael yashvu al haaretz, when we were in Eretz Yisrael and we had sovereignty over our own land and our own people. So then maybe you can say it goes from parent to child, a Kohen to his son, a Levi to his son, the leaders were the leaders. However, he says, Mishash Gali Yisrael, now that we're in Golus, v'hasakana mirachefes al koach hayadus, he says we're in existential danger now. We're living in Golus. We don't have sovereignty over our own land. We can't make our own rules. Therefore, he says, we need more powerful leaders than we ever had. And therefore, he says, Roy Lahamid Barosh Raki Bari HaTorah. Then you don't go parent and child. Obviously, we wouldn't do that today. He says, now the objective purpose is we need to make sure that we have a leader who can stand up to the tide of the generation in the host country that we're in Golus. It's not the same as living in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Netziv writes, all of this discussion, he believes, does not even get off the ground when we're talking about Jews living in Chutz Laretz. Perhaps it's only a conversation when we're talking in Eretz Yisrael itself. Obviously, the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah also lived in Chutz Laretz, and he says there is a hierarchy, and there is Yerusha, and there is a discussion to be had, and the Chasam Sofer writes the same thing, and many other Achronim discuss it. Avnei Nezer has long tshuvas about this as well, but the Netziv, again, has his own original idea here where he says in Golus in particular, it's more important that we have strong Torah leaders who will uphold the Torah values more so than in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael itself is enough of a safety net to make sure that Klal Yisrael will survive and Klal Yisrael will endure regardless.